بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
لله الأسماء الحسنى ندعوه بها، لله الأسماء الحسنى ندعوه بها.
This workshop today is on this subject, developing the emotional bond in marriage. By the grace of Allah, we have tried to address this very important issue from two major perspectives, the Holy Quran and Ahadith, that's one, and our dear Dr. Sultani is going to take up that part, and then I will inshallah address the same subject from the research and the part that relates to psychology and counseling, which is my field, and I will also perhaps shed some light on what Dr. Subhani. But the major chunk of this workshop is about the exercises and activities that we are going to work on together. And for that we have some volunteers. Raise your hand, please. Visible volunteers. Yeah, that's correct.
Mashallah, salawat, please.
So we thank you all for coming, and those other people who want to join, we are welcome. Please come in. Come in, please, it's for you. This is the place you wanted to be. Come in. And can you please walk up a little closer to this section where I am? I'm not going to ask you more questions than others, so don't worry. Just come here, and it's going to be alright. So I'll begin with, of course, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala ashraf al-anbiya ila al-mursaleen. Habibi ilah al-alameen. Abul Qasim al-Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala
wa ala ahlaihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'sumin. I will ask Brother Waqar Naqvi to go over the brief abstract of this workshop.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Mostly, of course, Maulana and Dr. Subhani are going to be conducting. I'm just going to read few excerpts and a little background on this topic of reviving emotional bond in marriage. That will encompass quite a few things. And basically what it is, as we all know, family is the basic unit of society. And it is formed through marriage. It is the ground where the human being starts their journey towards perfection. Young people try to find their companions who are compatible to each other. And in reality, marriage is the ground where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants a seed of love and mercy, and it is the couple's job to water this seed to turn it into a plant and then a tree, and until it gives fruits. Many people, when they do that, they just look for some superficial things like mundane interests and styles when they are seeking compatibility. And in fact, it's a little bit more where few have trained their intellect to look for more. In any case, when a bond is created between two people, the needs are intense, and fulfilling those needs is a tough job, and it's a tough job in a lot of ways. And what are the emotional needs? How they are communicated and responded to? And this is going to be the topic of this workshop. And the goal is to learn to build, maintain, or revive the emotional bond. And we will benefit from Islamic guidance from Maulana and also the current research on this subject. And of course, Maulana Shamshad does not require much introduction. Most of us, I'm sure, knows him. And Dr. Subhani is also an expert in this field. And with the loud salawat, we would like to welcome Maulana Shamshad and Dr. Subhani to conduct this workshop.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I'm Shamshad Heather, and I have two daughters. One just got married last week. And I have studied in Iran, in Hawza Ilmiya Hall. Then I served as a religious scholar here in the US for 8 years, and then another city in 1.5 years. And I did master's in professional counseling, community counseling, from University of North Texas in Dent, which is part of Dallas, Greater Dallas area.
Oh.
So technical help, please. Volume. Anyway, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. So I finished my master's in counseling and cleared the National Counselor's Examination, NCC certification, and then completed my 1,500 hours, client hours in counseling, and currently I'm licensed in the state of Texas. I have seen patients, clients that we got from our own community, and Muslims of, you know, other Sunni community, and also generally American community, American clients I've worked with. I have been working as a school counselor in Al-Hadi School part-time. That's 1.5, 2 years now in Houston. So I have also tried my best to use workshops as a means of training people the skills needed for any of the things that we need. Marriage, parenting, building self-esteem, dealing with peer pressure, and other things. This is a little bit about me. And
Assalamualaikum. My name is Ahmed Safani. My name is Muhammad Subhani. My professional education is engineering, but due to my interest in religious, I have done extensive study on religious and Islam, and currently I am the religious director of Unity Center at Drexel, Ohio, and also I'm the imam of that center. And I try to, on my spare time, try to participate and fulfill the religious need of my community and my people. And also I'm involved in giving lectures at different locations as my time permits. I want to thank Wadana Shimshat for invitation to participate in this workshop. Wadana Shimshat, by himself, could have conducted this without my help, but he was honored me to ask me to be here. And again, what I'll be trying to do here to shed some lights from the religious aspect, from Islamic aspect, with love and compassion, it means throughout this presentation, and I'll try to work with you during the workout session.
Thank you. Dr. Subhani is also the son of Ayatollah Jafar Subhani. You may have heard his name. Famous Islamic scholar in Hawza Ilmiya Hall. They say waladul alim nisful alim. The son of a great alim is half an alim himself. So inshallah, we'll benefit from you. This workshop goes in this way. The general format of the workshop is that we try to gain something from you, just generally, so that to warm up and to start a discussion. And then we'll talk about something, present you information, which will begin with Quran and Hadith, with Dr. Subhani will. And then I'll pitch in and start working with you on certain skills and concepts together. We'll give you questionnaires. We'll probably start with a role play with these sisters will perform, and we'll have a discussion about this, that, and give you a questionnaire to fill out. And these skills are generally start with awareness, understanding, to actually learning to do things a certain way. We'll notice that we have been doing a certain way and we might see a change. And it's mostly about understanding why we behave in certain ways, why other people behave in certain ways. And inshallah, with this, I'll ask Dr. Subhani to begin. Oh, yes. I'll recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
singles here? Okay, few. So, married people, how many years have we been married? Let me ask like this. 10 years? Married for 10 years?
Or more?
10 years or more? Okay, mashallah. 20 years or more? Okay. 30 years or more? Mashallah. 40 years or more? Oh, we have one? Mashallah. You're the only one? Okay, so let me ask you. This is a key question. What makes a successful marriage? Now those with 30 years experience can also help him or go after him. What's your name, brother?
My name is Budan.
Would you like to shed some light, share with us something? Anyone with 30 years? Yes, sister. What makes a successful marriage?
I think the main part is sacrifice on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found, that is one of the main.
Sacrifice is a word, you can use other words like what do you mean by sacrifice, really?
Tolerance.
Letting go of certain things.
Yes.
Accepting certain things, that this is the way it's going to be. Certain things are the way they are. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yes?
Compromising.
Oh. Communication? Mashallah.
Compromising. Listening to the other person.
Alright. Yeah. Because not everything I say or anyone says is non-negotiable. Certain things are negotiable. Certain things may not be negotiable. So like a discussion between, you know, do we do this or do we do that? Now there may be certain things that are non-negotiable. For that I have to pray. You know, maybe a little later but I have to pray eventually. Or I have to, Hajj is wajib, I have to go. Unless there's some really major obstacle. So, but there are things that are negotiable. So we let go of things that can be negotiated. We can keep it some other way or not time. So the emotional want itself, this ayat since I've put it down, so I'll just read the translation for you. Women ayat وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And among his signs, Allah's signs that he created for you from your own selves, made so that you dwell in tranquility with them, creating love and compassion between you. Indeed, there are signs in this for people who reflect. Allah is saying when you marry, he creates this love between you. مَوَدَّةً and rahmah, love and mercy in you. So it is something because you're marrying each other, this bonding, this love is always put in there. There's a mercy which Allah has put in this couple himself, right? As believers, as following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet of Islam, when you marry, you know, the Mawlana, when he reads the Nikah, Jumala, Kitabillah, wa sunnah te Rasulullah. That's what it means. That this love and compassion is created because of your adherence to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. That means you're saying I'm marrying according to Quran. I'm marrying as the Prophet of Islam married. And then Allah says, I create this heavenly, this spiritual bond between you, which is composed of mawaddah and rahmat. And so, which is already there now. We have to safeguard it, protect it. And which we do by watering this seed and this plant so that it grows, it continues to grow until it gives fruits, you know. And the act of reading a nikah is not just a formality. It's the actual, it's like creating something, it's insha, you know, it's creating. So when the Mawlana says, Ankahtu muwakkilati muwakkilatak, It's not like that justice of peace guy saying, okay, you are husband and wife. It's actually enacting it. Insha means creating it. Because this is the route, this is the channel Allah has created, and this person has to do this. By saying this, he is creating this bond in such a way that it's going to affect the procreation of that child in future according to the word of Allah, according to Insha which Allah did in heaven. This person is in the middle trying to make it happen on earth. Right? Just as we see in the riwayat that the marriage of Imam Ali and Bibi Fatima took place in the heaven. And then the Prophet's job was to now announce it, formalize it, arrange the ceremony where Imam Ali went. Prophet said, Ali, now go and tell, invite the people to the food, you know. But there was this one goat, they had cooked it. So Imam Ali went to the masjid and said, who do I invite, this group, that group? And he couldn't discriminate, you know. So he stood on an elevation and said, oh, people of Medina, come and attend my marriage. And 3,000 people came. Now 3,000 people, just one goat. So Imam was, as the riwayat says, he was thinking, you know, how we will feed all these people. And the Prophet said, Ali, don't worry. He spread a piece of cloth on it, and the Prophet started serving himself. And he served all the people. Everybody got food, and still it was, a lot of it was left inside. Salawat.
To add to what Murana said, imagine if two people want to develop the trust and friendship, usually takes 40 years. 10 years, 20 years until you'll be able to develop a trust and friendship between two friends. Now imagine the minute you get married, the minute that nikah has been recited, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that mawaddah and rahmat in the heart of spouses, the spouses feel that they have known each other for years and they started trusting each other. And that's the message that I would like to convey to you, that the love and compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been gifted us, gifted the spouses, we have to cherish it. And you have to make sure it's been protected during our life. I would like to a little bit say about what is the concept of the hope, and later on related to a bigger scale in a marriage. As you know, the word of hope has been used in Quran in various times, in various verses. For example, hope of dunya, love of dunya, hope of akhirah, love of akhirah. So hope has been used in various verses of the Quran and literally is translated to love and affection. And to a point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Surah Al-Ali Imran, he says, O Prophet, tell the people, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. O Prophet, tell the people, if they love me, if they have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart and in their mind, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should motivate people to follow the messenger. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his love in our heart. So his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should motivate us to be obedient and to do sacrifice. Of course, when we talk about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different aspects, for example, the manifestation of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be seen in the tradition and lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt. Again, you have heard this story that the house of Ali alayhi salam fasted for 3 consecutive days. And the first day, when it time to break the fast, an orphan came in and knocked on the door, and they decided to give away their food, and they break their fast in water. And the second day, a needy person came and knocked on the door, and they again repeat what they did the first night. And the third night was a slave was freed recently. He came and knocked on the door, and they have to give their food for 3 consecutive days. and their action is being driven by love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart of Ahlul Bayt. Which Quran says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they did that great sacrifice. They sacrificed their well-being for the sake of others because of the وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. Again, the message that I want to take today, when we talk about hope, it's not artificial artifact that has been generated in our heart because of any other reason. When we talk about hope from Islamic perspective, it's a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Mawlana Shamshad mentioned, the minute that you married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum says that Allah inculcates the seed of mawaddah wa rahmat in the heart of spouses. So if you take an effort, try to nurture that seed is going to gradually become a small plant, and that small plant is going to become a bigger plant, to a point that that seed is going to create such a big bond between spouses that that bond is going to last forever. So the mawaddah wa rahmat that we talk about between the spouses, this is a gift of God. This is what God has been granted to us. That what God has been trusted us with, that rahmat, with that gift, and we should try to really nurture throughout the marriage. And again, hopefully throughout the discussion, we learn how to nurture that love, that gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I was thinking when I was preparing, of course, what I'm saying here has been in more detail, is in the handout, you can read on later on. I was thinking what are the means that we can revive that love and mawadda, the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been granted us. What we can do that make sure that love has been preserved. And I was very interested to see what is the teaching of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And I got a hadith from Imam alayhi salam that he mentioned there are three things if we follow, there are three character, three akhlaq that if we follow, as a result, the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been gifted us, it's going to be preserved. And some of this has been mentioned during the beginning of the discussion, what is the success to marriage. So these are three items that the success to a friendship, to any relationship that exists between brothers and families and the society. Imam mentioned that the first one is husnul khulq, Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. Said if you want to revive mawadda and rahmat, and the love and friendship in family between two friends, between spouses, the first one is to have pleasant personality. And again, I'm sure that you know what the pleasant personality means. If I want to just describe in a few words what does it mean, pleasant personality, it means you greet people with a smile and with respect. That's what it means when you meet somebody in the morning or in the afternoon at work. You always, with a smile and with respect, try to address that person. And people that they are surrounded with. So the first one is husnul khulq. For example, part of the husnul khulq is we should try to avoid using taunting languages. Sometimes you know that some people, they want to put down people. If somebody has done something wrong, they're trying to use some vocabulary which are not pleasant. Try to use a vocabulary that puts that personality down. You feel him ashamed of himself. So this is not part of the husnul khulq. Again, there is an expression in Farsi that when they say the person to have a seat and sit down has the same meaning, but you better, but has different implication. So when you choose a word to talk to your spouses, you have to be very selective what kind of word that you're using to make sure it does not have any negative adverse impact in our relationship. The other one that has been also mentioned by one of the sisters is tolerance and patience. And Imam said, personal grief. It means that we have to be tolerant each other. We have to be patient in our relationship with respect to each other. Again, when you look at the Quran, Quran says one of the character of the people is they control their anger. If somebody, your friend, your spouse has done something wrong, the best thing that you should try to control your anger. And when they realize their mistake, you should forgive them. So this is what it calls tolerance and patience, and this is a really success. Sometimes if something happened in a family, we should try to ignore it, we should not try to confront it, every detailed aspect of our relationship. And the other one is humbleness, or Imam talked about tawazu. What is humbleness means, again, tawazu is well understood. It's a virtue that comes with the faith. If I want to say tawazu, it means you have down-to-earth personality. When you try to talk to people, you should not feel that you are, because of your gender, because of your talent, because of your wealth, because of your good longing, because of whatever it is, that you are superior to the other people. Sometimes when we talk to people, we have feeling of superiority, that we are superior. Again, this is called arrogance. So these three, if we try to implement in our relationship, any relationship, as a result, you're going to see that our relationship is going to be last, and it's going to be mature as time goes on. Again, truly, what is controlled is a love and friendship is our action. How you treat the people that dictates our gender. So I'm going to ask two questions from you, and I'm going to give you a minute to talk about it. If somebody asks you, what is the ideal family? What comes to your mind? And the other one is, what is your ideal spouses? If you ask, what is your ideal spouses, what comes to your mind? The one that takes you to vacation, buys you jewelry, buys you bigger cars. If somebody says, what is your ideal, what is the best spouses in your opinion, what comes to your mind? Yes.
Best definition comes to our mind when the day after the marriage of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited them and he asked, how did you found Zahra? He said, Allah ki, how should I translate, I don't know, but the best helper in the way of Allah.
This is the best. That's exactly the key. When after Imam Ali alayhi salam and Fatima Zahra they married, the Prophet, peace be upon him, approached Ali alayhi salam. Ali, how did you find Fatima as a wife? How was it? Are you happy? As the sister said, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I found her the best helper in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any word, the best spouse is not the one that buys you, fulfills your desire, although that's expected from our spouse, that they fulfill our desire and whatever our needs, that's given. But the best spouse is the one that helps you as an individual become a better human being. That's the best spouse that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also we have to pray for it. But I still have one question about ideal family. You have read about Hadith al-Qisa, I'm sure, a lot. Again, if you reflect on Hadith al-Qisa, you could see ideal family. How the family of Ali alayhi salam and Fatima Zahra, they try to treat each other with respect and with dignity. Remember when Ali alayhi salam enters the house, how he addressed the Fatima Zahra, addressed with title, Ya Bint Rasulullah. And see how the Fatima Zahra alayhi salam address Ali alayhi salam says, Ya Abul Hassan, Ya Amir al-Mu'min. You see how much there is a respect between between spouses. They address each other with honor and dignity. And again, see how they treated their children. He said, Ya Samarat Fuadi, Ya Qurrat Aini, all the food of my life. So this is what a family is supposed to be. An ideal family should be full of love and respect and dignity among the members of that family. So, inshallah, if there is more questions, we can accommodate, but I think I asked Maulana Shimshah to continue from here.
To summarize Dr. Subhani's part, I would say that if you have a right role model in your eyes, then you try, like it's like a goal, you try to reach that. The difficulties we have in our lives is when we are trying to operationalize these things, apply them in our life. With our different emotional history and our own genetic, qualities and things that we have observed in our childhood from our parents, right? And the education we got and all of those things, right? What kind of media and other things we were exposed to. So these learned attitudes and behaviors have become part of us. And we want to see how in practice we can deal with the problems that we have and move towards that goal. There's been a lot of research into the emotional dynamics between a husband and a wife. But some of those topics I've tried to bring in this workshop to look at our emotional needs. Then our bids for attention, emotional needs that we have are not the same. Like the emotional need you have from a friend, from a spouse, from a teacher, from me, from each other right now, emotional needs are not the same. So we'll be doing a little questionnaire about that. And so I don't want to go over all this right now, because just briefly summarize it, won't take some time on the workshop. What I do is I go straight to the role play. I start the sisters, I request you all to just come and present it. And while processing that, I'll just go over these subjects one by one and work with you all. Welcome them with the salawat.
Husband who just got back from work, and meanwhile the wife is exhausted from her day's work.
Thank you. I feel so tired these days. Then why don't we take some rest?
Yes, but there's always too much on my mind. I don't feel relaxed.
Don't dwell on the past. Did you try the relaxation techniques I told you about?
No, I didn't.
You need to make an effort and then see the result.
I don't know.
Well, that's exactly how I feel when there's so much housework and the kids don't help at all.
I see you screaming and yelling at the kids all the time, and I don't want to get involved, so I let you guys fight it out.
You don't help with the kids and housework either.
So now it's me.
Yeah, don't try to ignore me, because why do you always run away from the truth?
I can't handle this. Get out of my way.
This covers one of the six areas of marital conflicts. It covers housework and parenting. Now you see the next one. This covers work stress, in-laws, money, and intimacy.
This one is right around bedtime. Meanwhile, I guess the kids are watching TV and the wife is on the phone.
Why do you have to make all these calls now?
You were busy with your books and emails.
You should try to understand me.
I do try, but when you keep bringing your what can I do?
Just like you bring me up your sister's problems whenever I'm trying to relax.
kids to control the noise.
We should buy the stereo headset so the kids don't get in our way.
You are always spending.
So now we'll fight about money when you should be relaxing?
You're the one who always messes up at last minute.
any comments from you other? This is loaded with emotion, but I just want to hear from you. Thank you so much. Any thoughts, sisters?
I sound like new married. Newly married.
Newly married?
No. Yes, no. Totally sound like new married.
This is jumping into all of this at the same time. Yeah? Anyone?
Not the kids.
That what?
Or nothing. Lack of Slavic knowledge.
Sorry?
Lack of Slavic knowledge.
That is true, yes. In some, which part of this?
Like everything.
Okay. But like, point out one, because there's some things that are more obvious than others.
Housework and work stress, like work stress, yeah.
Okay. How is work stress Islamically even a problem? Because we do have stress. Sorry?
What was your question?
Like, Islamically, work stress, how do you...
No, actually I didn't understand your question. What were you asking?
I said like, you said Islamically, there's lack of Islamic knowledge, right?
The fight.
Okay, generally, the whole thing was about lack of knowledge.
Lack of
knowledge. Okay, all right.
Yeah, lack of respect for each other, the way they are talking, the tone of their voice, the interaction between them. It's lacking respect.
Yes, the haya, you know, the curtain of haya kind of goes away because of this kind of conflicts. Anything else?
What the sister was saying, that the work stress they have to part of the number of their days, people to have time for family, time for work, time for yourself, to work.
Yeah.
So maybe some of them get split up their day the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, so lack of time management, lack of organization, coordination. Right.
Well, like, first of all, like, preferences should be discussed in the beginning. As I said, like my first comment was, they sound like newly wed, because after a couple of years, if you go in the right direction, you will set your preferences, because it's too much to do. Then you will say, okay, these things are really important. These should be done. So because you cannot be 100% perfect, right? So just think about, these things are really important, and then we'll have time for ourselves, and just let's not worry about the other stuff. So just preferences should be set in the first place.
Exactly. What happens is, marriages done these days, the first week, first few weeks, naturally they want to spend their life together, so these two people need to understand each other, right? How they're going to deal with all these things. There's six major areas of conflict in marriage. And apart from these, what are their dreams? From their childhood, there were dreams. They never talked about them. Or things that hurt them. Or they were sensitive about. Unfinished business, whatever. So they need to be sorted out. For them to sort of move past these things, it needs a certain time for them to work on these things, you know, to build this bond. And so this is what they call love map. In books of John Gottman, which is the research list, what are couples arguing about? What are these issues? And he says that there are aspirations that they do have. Dreams. Religious could be religious, could be things about what they do want to do with their life, dreams about their career, children, whatever. And these dreams have to be understood, right? If they are understood, then the areas of conflict, which are sometimes not resolvable, you know, solvable. The certain areas, for example, a person is, temperament is this way, a little impulsive. The other person is too easygoing, you know. Or this person is, loves to spend money. The other one loves to save. So this is, like for example, in our house, when I see empty bottles and boxes, I like to collect them and throw them away. And my wife says, these are to keep, we need them for, you know, making something from these boxes or bottles. And I just, even to this day, I just fail to understand what we could possibly do with a box with empty bottles. So they just keep collecting, and then finally I just, sometimes everybody agrees that now we can throw some of them, but sometimes not. So these are like, now they go back to something maybe in childhood, you know. Who knows where, what, but for us to dig into our past, we need to, so there's certain things we, another thing you might notice how they jump from one subject to another. And so fast, in a few lines they were jumping from housework to parenting to money to work stress. And intimacy is not, they were not even discussed openly. And nobody knows what are the emotional needs really in their private time, and those are not even verbalized. That's all of this, you know, all this at the same time. It becomes very, very loaded, that's why I said. It's very hard. Because what they are fighting about is not what the fight should really be, what the discussion should really be about. There may be sometimes, it is that what they are actually talking about is not the main issue. The main issue is something else, which we have to see why they couldn't verbalize, why they couldn't phrase it, why they couldn't say it, why they were arguing about that something else. What was the reason, right? So these are these complex issues which in operationalizing, you know, and applying the religious knowledge that we have, we confront these issues and we have to find a way to deal with them. So, so I'll start with this question here. You may find it a little interesting. It's in your packet. If you go to right after the PowerPoint, yeah, so page 3. So you want to see, you know, what is our emotional need from different people? So there are 10 groups of people. 10 kinds of different people in our lives, right? And I want you to rate 1 to 10. So give it a number. So these are 10 different people and you have 10 numbers to choose from, right? So write either 1 or 2 or 7 or 6 or 3 in front of each of these. What is your need? What is my need from this person? In number 1, in 2. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to just break yourself, all right?
That's good.
Yeah. Read them together, even if you don't have a packet yourself, read it, just go over it, because I want to illustrate something. So. Are you done? All right, answer my question. Rate yourself. What did you rate at one? Anyone volunteer? Not everyone has to answer, but if you want to, yeah. Sorry? Neighbor the first talk, yeah. Or you are mowing your lawn and somebody passes by, hi, how are you, what's going on, you know. And he says, oh, fine, bye, or something, I don't know. So what is your need from this person who is just passing by? That's one. Least emotional need that you may have for a person who you don't know much. Anyway. What about five? I want more answers rather. What is your others mark as one? Can you raise your, how many mark the same thing? How many of you mark the neighbor as one? Okay, anyone else with one? What else will you mark for one? Anyone?
Number
four. What is that? Sales clerk, yeah. Sales clerk. You expect the person to smile, give you a smile, you know? Or maybe if you, like maybe your credit card doesn't work, so you want him to be nice to you, not to embarrass you, you know? Maybe that much. Or something like that. Yeah? Anyone, anything else? Five?
No, sorry, one.
One is? This one was one for you?
The bus stop.
Bus stop was one? Oh. Any other for five? What did you mark as five?
Number six.
Which is?
My need for empathy from my best friend after a bad experience at work.
Yeah, maybe the boss got angry, yelled at you, or passed by, made a bad remark, you know, you didn't finish your work again, or something. Oh, you came late today, and now you have to go early, or something. And then, you know, now this thing, in the middle of all this, and you can't answer back. You can't say, you do this sometime too, you know, or whatever. You can't do that. So you're holding it, and then the first person you meet in the elevator, you know, a friend, a forwarder, or you call someone to share this thing with, like your friend or brother or sister, you want that person to show you some empathy, right? What if the person you are talking to says, you must have done something wrong, you know? You should have done better. You know, you don't do these things at work, right? You have to be on time. And this is the least what you expect from the person who you trust. What about eight?
Sister.
Money
calls you.
For? Let's say, oh.
Money to feel appreciated.
Sorry?
My need to feel appreciated by my sister when I call her.
Like, in many siblings, you know, they choose different careers. They have sometimes different values even. One is more religious than another. One is religious, the other is not religious at all. Now, how do they converse? How do they talk to each other? Now, when you say, for example, oh, I wanted to congratulate his Nima Shaban, you know, what is that? What is Shaban? Oh, it's a month. You don't know Shaban? Oh, I forgot. So like, say, oh, so how, forget it. How are you doing these days? Oh, signed a great deal today with my business, you know. And he named something about his business you never heard in your life. And what is that? For example, I bought a new company. And you name a company and he names a company and you never heard this. What is that about? He says it's about, and more technical. Oh, and what is that? I don't know. So it's like, and maybe if you're interested in learning about him, he's not interested in learning about Shaban, then how can you have a conversation? So you say, okay, I just hope you be well and, you know, see you. Bye. So that's how the conversations don't go any further. Okay, how about 10?
Maybe we have a little different language for a lot of things, because
because I set high standards for people in my life. You know, like if I see my neighbor, I
means I'm in trouble, my man.
Huh?
It means I'm in trouble.
Like, I think it's important to be respected at the register, you know, and pay for these people. I think it's important to have friendly conversations with your neighbor. And if you do these things back to society, you should expect the same thing in return.
It is, in a way, it's true. Like, for example, you know, you're on this phone and you're saying, pressing 1, 2, 1, 2. Option 1 is for this, option 2 is for the representative, finally picks up. And then you've been on this phone for 15 minutes trying to get to a human being to talk to. And this human being says, yeah, what do you need? And doesn't help you. So your emotional need is getting stronger more. But not always, and not for everyone. Others have different hierarchies. You have a hierarchy in that, on that paper, you just build a hierarchy for yourself, a hierarchy of needs, emotional needs that you have. And if you all like try to bring it all and compare it, you'll see that there are differences right now. Not everyone has the same emotional need from the same person. And then the changes, hierarchies also change over lifespan. Like a person who wasn't married before, he or she did not have someone to expect something like this from, right? Now is expecting to receive that kind of attention, right, from that someone. So it's intense in that sense. And that's the answer to, for example, well, some people are nice to the whole world. When it comes to their spouse, they are not so nice. Why is that so? They are my spouse, so he's my spouse, right? And so, I mean, I hardly see him. This is the reason why. Because our emotional needs are not the same from that guy, the sales clerk, as my emotional needs from my spouse, right? And that's why when those needs are not dealt with carefully, they can create problems, issues, you know. So we'll look at it more. Okay. People follow a certain hierarchy when they make bids within a certain relationship. You please look at your, this is page 6. So this is the hierarchy of making bids for connections. So you start a light conversation. Salaam alaikum, how are you? Walaikum salam. Doing okay? Small talk, you know. So how is this conference going? Very nice, thank you so much. How about you? Conference is going nice. Right? Yeah, we came, you know, just yesterday, we arrived here, and it's so much fun to see so many people. And this other guy was a person, or she changed and like shared her experience a little bit. Now what is going on here? Both are making bids for connection. Just also testing waters to see what kind of person he is. When you're seeing an elevator for 2 minutes, you just see him just, you know, or just walking out in the parking lot, you meet that person for a few minutes, you know. So you don't know the person. You're not going to say, can I have some cash, please? can you give me a ride to the railway station? Or, I lost my wallet, can you buy me a ticket for us? You're not going to do that. Why not? You're not going to, for example, go that far. Why not? Yes. Yes, and that, in other words, I mean, can you rephrase it in some other way? Can anyone?
There's no personal relationship.
Exactly. I mean, there's a fear of rejection also. What do you say? Can you, what was that? Give me a ride, you know? And say, oh, I'm in a rush, I have to go somewhere, you know? How do you feel?
Rejected.
Rejected in a way, right? Turned down, feel a little embarrassed. Is, you know,
you haven't invested anything in there, so there's no expectation.
Exactly. That is, in a way, a summary of this part too. That in our marriage also, there has to be something in the emotional account that you need in time of crisis, time when there's something happens that you disagree about. There has to be some emotional money in the account. This is that kind of bonding. That should, in normal times, there should be, investing. And the time comes when that's what happy couples do. Good couples, ideal couples, as brother was talking about. You know, they have this money in the account. They cash it, you know, because now it's time for disagreement. Maybe someone raises his voice. Someone says something, you know, the other person doesn't want to hear. But you let it go, you know. Say, okay, this is now his time to vent his emotion. I'll talk to him later, you know, or her, you know. So, see, because you say, you know, either way, it's not that big of a problem. Because they don't see it as a huge problem. Yeah, it's a problem, but we can solve it. We can work around it, as they say. We can work around it. There's a certain problem you can solve, a certain problem you can work around. Because you know this temperament of this person, you know the kind of emotional history, yeah, because you know about it. You have a love map in your mind, as they say. You know this person, where he comes from, what his goals. These things hurt him more than others. You know, some people, for example, they can't, like me, I can't watch a horror movie at all. There's another person, for example, is more sensitive to something else. So there, you know this person after living with them, talking to him, you know what kind of a person is, what causes, brings him joy, what brings him sadness. So this is the hierarchy in which you approach another person. Humor, for example, friendly gossip, as gossip, this is like friendly talk, you know, not like evil, hopefully not. Affection, support, problem solving, connection. All right, how do you express that, either verbally or non-verbally? In a relationship between two people, you either verbally make a bid for attention, thoughts, share your thoughts, feelings, observations, opinions, invitation to share something with you, non-verbal, touching, facial expressions. It's also a skill to understand an emotion of a person or his face. Not everyone is so smart in doing that. But you know, it's interesting that, for example, if I say something, for example, something that should come with a lot of joy and emotion, right? And I say, I'm enjoying this conference. How do you judge me? How do you decide what's my condition right now?
Body language.
Doesn't match, right? Which one would you believe this? Sorry?
Facial expression.
You would believe the facial expression, not my words. 95 or 96% of what you understand from a person comes up from his facial expression. Body language, tone of his voice, and all of that. Eyes. They've studied the human anatomy. You see that the facial muscles are not tied to any bones. They're just there for emotions. Other muscles are, you know, like tied to some bones and for other reasons. These emotions, these are, any doctors here? I have to be careful. this is as much as I knew, anyway. All right. So you see, like for example, Imran says, so Raila, what's your idea of a great vacation? And she says, I've always dreamed of sailing in the Caribbean. What do you think? Why do you ask? Well, I was just wondering. Now she has given a positive response, you know, because she's willing to do that. Now he can ask her to come, you know. Okay. Maybe she doesn't like. You just got married, they don't know each other. Does she like vacation? Does she want like to travel? Or wants to stay or what? Or maybe they're just getting to know each other. They haven't married yet. They just want to know each other a little bit, you know. And this is how they test the waters or get to know each other a little bit. Carefully treading this road. Zohar says, did you want to ask me something, Hisham? Hisham said, yes, but I can't seem to remember what it was. Imagine she is now expecting that he's probably proposing to her, you know. Hisham, did you want to ask me something? He says, yes, but I can't seem to remember. Do you think he's lying?
Yeah.
He may be, right? Because he's feeling uncomfortable. Maybe in his family, they never shared emotions so much. It's very hard to say for him to say something like this, you know. Maybe he fears that maybe she says, no, I won't. But now that she has asked, did you want to say something? He says, yes, but I can't remember. Said, well, try and think hard, Hisham, and maybe you'll remember. And now he might say, what's the next thing he might say? Any guesses? Sorry?
Would you marry me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do remember it. Once initial bids are fulfilled, they may raise the stakes, asking for more. So you say, how are you doing? The conference is going well. Okay, where are you going from here? I said, I'm going to drive to Chicago. Oh, how many people are you, by the way? Oh, we have two. Oh, I see. Oh, we are planning to go to Chicago too. Not so sure, but we are two people, you know. Oh, really? Oh, you could come with us if you want to. Maybe you say, okay, so are you going straight to Chicago or maybe somewhere else on the way? And I say, no, we are going straight to Chicago. Okay, so what other questions could you ask if you were in my place?
Which car do you have?
Which car? Is it big or small, you know? All right. When are you leaving, by the way? Okay, leaving tonight, for example. Yeah, oh, you've been driving tonight. All right. So you're checking out and all of that. Yes. Yeah, I was thinking of checking out too today, you know? So how do you plan to go? Because the guy says, you know, how do you plan to go to Chicago? Well, I'm not so sure yet. I was thinking maybe I get a ride or something. Oh, you should come with me. See, how many steps have been taken to get to the point where you actually make your request? Because your emotional needs are different from different people, and you don't have the same emotional history. Oh, page 4. What do you see on page 4? Yeah, I think I just explained that. That's what it was. How you bid for attention. How you respond to bids. That is a key question, a very important subject. As a husband or as a wife, how do you bid for attention? Do you express yourself? How do you express yourself? Some people, when they make a bid for attention, they are actually complaining. They sound like they're complaining, but what they're trying to do is get a bit, you know, like a wife might say, you're never home on time. And what is she trying to say? You know, I miss you. Simple. Now the guy says, for example, you didn't answer my call. I left you a message. If this is the tone, what is he trying to say? Sorry? Yeah, ignored my call, or maybe like, you know, it's been a while, we talked really, you know, especially two people who are trying to, you know, get close and get married or something. Now that small things, you know, they try to understand each other also. So in this packet, I've only taken a few really useful things from John Gottman's book about relationship cure. And we're not going to do this here right now, but the first thing, how you bid for attention, you can assess yourself, which is this first scan paper. Right? Bidding. I sometimes get ignored when I need attention the most.
This person often doesn't notice me. This person usually doesn't have a clue to what I'm feeling. I try, but I'm not successful in obtaining the social support I need in this relationship. I think that this person should know what I need without my saying so explicitly, and that's an issue. I expect him to know what I'm saying. I shouldn't have to verbalize everything, especially with men. See, men, women are emotionally smarter in many ways. You know, they show more empathy easily, and that's why they make great teachers, counselors, they make psychiatrists, they make these things, dealing with emotions, dealing with these things, you know. Emotionally, they connect with each other very easily. And men, some are not, they're not in that sense, you know, they have, sometimes some men have a hard time expressing emotions. What they call being vulnerable, being open about something. They can't, they just find it hard. Especially because, again, it's going generation after generation. Dad was like that, grandfather was like that, you know, everybody. Tough guy, I have to be tough. I can't be seen as weak, I can't be seen as soft, you know. Things shouldn't affect me that much. And they don't, I'm saying it. So they don't affect me. I'm okay, I'm perfect. Yeah, of course. There are things going on, I'll fix them. It's okay. And there's all these things, inner conversation going on, and people they don't express it easily. So when we don't express something, we don't make a bid for connection in the right way, the other person doesn't have a clue of what they want. What do we really want? You see those needs that we listed out in the beginning? Needs that we have from people? Just an announcement, the men's snacks are at the prayer hall. When we are done, okay. Don't just run after the... Okay. We have physical needs, we have our emotional needs, our intellectual needs, all of these. So let's take our spiritual and emotional needs first, then you can go after. Okay. Then responding to bits is the other subject. And again, I'm not going to do it right now. Just want to read one or two lines. And this is as good of a scan as we could get. So please fill it out for yourself. This will really, really, really help you gain awareness about yourself, which will help you in your relationship. Not just in your marriage, anywhere, co-workers, people, you know. How do you respond to people's bits? How smart you are in knowing what this person wants from me. My co-worker, my boss, what does he want from me? Or the teachers, like the children you are teaching, what do they want from me? Okay, my need for independence is such that I find this person flowing and smothering. Like, you know, he's very needy, or she's always wanting my attention. Now, you're not used to having a person around you always clinging to you. But that's what you feel, he's not, that's what you feel right now. Some marriages broke up because the guy or the, mostly sometimes the guy, I don't know, I don't know any statistics. But like, always wants me around her. Now, he's been living alone for 10 years. He suddenly got married. He doesn't, never had someone around him. Now, someone around him all the time. And wants his attention. So, I really find it hard to sit and listen to this person. My mind wanders when this person talks. I think that if this person is feeling sad, he or she should keep it private. I wish that this person took care of his or her needs, own needs more, and relied on me less. When I'm busy, I resent being interrupted by this person. Be honest to yourself, fill this out, and whatever person you have in mind, your spouse, or your mom, or your brother or sister, or child, whatever it is you are having difficulty with, you can use it in the same way. Well, the part that we... Yes, one more thing that I'm not going to work on, just want to show you what love map, how love map is built. Alright? There's this list of 50 things. So there are 46 things that I typed, and the other I just wrote it in my hands.
How much do you know your spouse? And add to this list all the religious things that she believes in. Right? These are things as human beings, you know, like favorite meal, special hobbies, interests, close friends, favorite holiday, kind of books, you know, happiest life event, worst life event, best recent day, worst recent day, best vacation, secret ambitions. All right, all of this. And knowing another person also depends a lot on that person's knowledge of religion as well. Some people are offended when you give him a religious advice. Some people are excited when you give them information about, for example, what happened in Jangli Khabar. Many of us are, I mean all of us are. But some people, when you give them like something, do you know what this ingredient, you know, may not be halal. You're always finding these things in the, what's the problem? Let me live my life, you know, what's the issue? Or, for example, you know, little things that you, now, this is because how they were brought up, or just maybe the priorities, maybe quite possible the person who's saying this may also be a little bit too sensitive, or maybe not presenting it in the right way. Quite possible. Because certain things in Shariat also are not really so clearly defined. Because they're left to you to decide. For example, don't drink liquor. What is liquor? You must know, you'll be sure this is liquor, I don't drink it. So whatever it looks like water, the other person didn't know it's liquor by mistake, just had a sip and said, oh, isn't that water? Right? Now you're assuming that he knew it's beer or something else, and he's drinking intentionally. Now this is your judgment about that person, but again, if you are there, naturally, if you know, you must tell. Right? But if the person, now it's quite possible that not, as Krista was mentioning, we are not educated enough about our religious duties and other things. So after the love map is made, which should be done, see, after people get married, the first few days, often you see people getting distracted. Party, this and that, travel, what they call honeymoon, and everything else is going on except knowing each other. Except, you know, finding out who this person is, right? Oh, that nice part got up, but some of that helps. You know, some of that, enjoying something together, it does really help. It does really help. Because those are bids for connection too, in many ways. You're putting money in that emotional account all the time. Whenever you're sharing something, they're saying, you know, did you hear this news about that guy who, whatever? And they say, oh, what was that about? Connection. Every single time, one person shares, the other responds to it in a positive way. You can respond to a bid for connection in one of three ways. Either you turn toward that person, and you say, nice, show me that again. You know, that's for turning toward that person. The other is turning away, you know. I'll look at it tomorrow. The other is, the third way is turning against you. You're always wasting my time. So three ways you can see yourself, how you're responding to the bids people are making to you. All right. Now this part is for us to do now. And this is about... Yes. Okay. See, the families, when I say emotional history, that means how we were raised, how people were making bids to each other, responding to bids. Maybe they were ignoring each other completely. One was sad, everybody else, how did they react? Either they said, oh, we are so sorry for you. You know, this is one. The other said, just everybody sat quietly and let that person cry it out. You know? Okay. The third way is maybe, please, are we also busy right now? Can you go somewhere else and whatever?
That's those are, see, these are dismissing. You'll get over it, cheer up. Disapproving, you shouldn't feel that way. Disapproving, whatever you pronounce it with. I understand how you feel. Emotional coaching, I understand how you feel. Let me help you. You're offering your hand. Hold my hand, you know. So, but no, families are different. Each person is different. How, what the family culture is, family culture, you know, they, that kind of, it's the environment in which this child is growing up, if there's a child. The people basically, they will, no, you had your emotional history, I had my emotional history, grew up, the people around me, how they were behaving, how they were talking to each other. Did we even talk about sadness in the family? Did we ever talk about things openly? Did we share emotions? Well, everyone was living his own life. So if you can go to this scan, this space, what's your emotional history? And mark, strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. 1 to 50. And then you can score yourself later. I don't want you to score now. I mean, we can go, but we will see how much time we have. If you can just go over this list. I think about 5 minutes is a good time for it. So, just fill this out yourself and recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala.
It's not very
clear. It's not? Okay. Okay, do it at your own convenience, alright? Let me just read out a few lines. But I found this really helpful. Emotional history. You can fill it for yourself and imagine your spouse and fill it for her too, for him. Right? You can do either way. Or what you can do is each fill it out and then exchange it. You need, and share it, you know, have the discussion. And don't judge the person. Because that's the fact you're learning. Nothing you can do about it except appreciate it, learn and know. Raise your awareness. For example, my parents often showed me that they were proud of me. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but like it's something that, you know, everyone should think. Did my parents show me that they were proud of me? Or I was always working and working hard to prove myself as good person, prove myself as smart, prove myself as accomplishing or something basically, a person worth even mentioning, you know? What was going on in the family? As a child, I felt really accepted by most of my peers. My family touched, hugged, and kissed one another a lot. Sometimes one of the parents is emotionally expressive, the other is not. And then not being expressive is one thing, I mean, that people are different naturally. But dismissing or like disapproving or having this gap that you can't even communicate. A person who cannot communicate with the child cannot communicate, feels this huge gap with the parent, you know. And that's what, so people, the way, the more they learn about each other, why, for example, I'm having an issue talking to my son or daughter, is because of some of these issues. You know? If I look at my emotional history, I would know. Alright, so in the how this knowledge of your emotional history affects your marriage. Now these are these lists over here that you can study that. How does your comfort with hearing your spouse express the feeling affect your ability to connect with him or her? If your wife is crying or if your husband is angry, typical scenario. wife is crying or husband is angry. Because why am I saying angry? Let's say grief or sadness or hurt is a soft emotion, hard to express for men. Sometimes it comes out in the form of withdrawal, not saying anything, ignoring, walking away, or getting upset. So, knowing this will help you deal with each other, build a relationship. You will be a little bit more careful. And you won't expect too much from the person. Gradually, people will change. Learning about why we are not so open about emotional things, I would know. It's because of this, right? Now, some people have different personalities, I was mentioning, and I'll just go over this very quickly. These are the command systems people have. Some people are more leader style. They want to plan things, you know. In advance, some people just want to discover, some are always protecting. You know, don't go out at night, don't walk alone, you know. Alright. Some are energies, that means I always save money, save time, save light, electricity, this and that, save water, save car, save whatever, something. Always something to save. Now, it's a good thing, but it can go a little too far sometimes. But to know that people have these, all of us have this, but some have more of one thing than another. Sensualist, just having fun all the time. Now if you're sharing some emotion with the person and he's enjoying it, maybe you're saying, I was hurt when somebody, you know, insulted me. And so what? And then you know that this person is always finding something interesting, something to laugh about. It's not like he's insulting you, it's that always trying to be funny. Because this is how he is. Nest builder, let's be together. Now you go out on a picnic, everybody wants to go in different directions. So why don't we stay together, we can relax. He wants people, or she wants people to stay together, you know. One wants to relax, conserve energy, other wants to go out, explore the woods and the woods and the whatever it is, right? People are different. And we need to know each other better. And with this knowledge and awareness, we can appreciate the favors that Allah has given us and not judge each other. Not read too much into something other person is saying or doing, right? We'll recite a salawat.
So basically what we try to accomplish in this presentation, we try to first look at the concept of mawaddat and rahmat, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inculcates in the heart of his spouse upon the marriage. And really that's the gift of God, and we should try to strive and work very hard to preserve the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second aspect, which was very interesting, and to learn how to work, spouses to work their relationship, and the key step was to basically to understand each other, to learn about each other's needs, emotional needs, because we as individual, we are different. We cannot find two people identical. The emotional needs and the way that we react to emotional needs of each other is different. And so basically by going through this handout, going through this this practice, this question that Maulana Shamshad provided for you, this gives us an opportunity and a chance to learn about our each other's emotional needs. So I think that this is Maulana, you want to conclude our program, or you want to add?
Yes, you can conclude it. I just thank you all for coming. I hope that awareness was gained regarding the issue of importance of love. I was mentioning the curtain of haya that we need to keep with every human being. And it is sometimes difficult because of the struggle in life. We are immigrants here, all of us, right? Anyone who is not an immigrant here? Being it, you're not. being an immigrant is one more factor. Because we have to adapt to a new culture, new language, new environment. It brings stress with it. Your children are learning new things, right? Just add up the factors. So all of that we have in our life, and we need help sometimes. If you need help with counseling, or someone you think is in trouble, having issues, not even being able to deal with something, refer that person to a counselor. Services are available. There are other people who may be trained in counseling or maybe helping or experienced, there are ulama who are doing this, marriage issues, divorce issues, parenting issues, other problems. There's a religious side of it and there's a psychological side. And both are important. Religion, of course, is important because that's our values. That is the goal we want to achieve in our life. Those are things that will determine our path in life. But how we deal, how we go about dealing with all these things in life, these challenges, we sometimes need help. Someone to talk to. Thank you all very much.
I have to pack this up.
Allah bless you all and give you success and help those who have helped us organize this workshop.